Your On The Mark podcast is loading now. The On The Mark podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you to the show. Great to have you with us. We may be breaking away here at some point. There's been a fire today at the Northumberland County Prison. So if we have to break away at any point to get an update, we will. I don't know if Kevin has an update on that story or not at this time.
We will in probably about 5 minutes from Mark Lawrence, who is on the scene.
All right, slow down. It's all right.
We also have a video posted at WKOK.com. It's a raw video footage of the fire that is now has visible flames out the roof of the Northumberland County Prison in Sunbury.
Yeah, so be smart. Pick the right video because Kevin's vacation video is also on there, and that's an accident.
But it's very entertaining.
No, not particularly.
It's me in Atlantic City spinning the wheels and donating money to someone other than me. Come on, I gotta get home. Give me a six. Ugh.
Ugh. Did you see, before we get rolling here with the show, Caesars in Las Vegas filed Chapter 11? How do you do that?
Well, and they own half of all of Atlantic City now.
Hey, to me, I find that impossible.
Now, is this Caesars Entertainment or just Caesars in Atlantic City?
No, the actual casino, I think.
Hmm. Because they own a lot of the casinos that are still open in Atlantic City.
I think they got into... there's been a reorganization, and then the reorganization... I mean, but it's a casino. Open the doors, they flock.
Well, the problem is they're not flocking very much to the Atlantic City side of things anyway, and maybe the competition in Vegas has caught up with everything.
I don't know. I just find it difficult to... Now, I can see the little mom-and-pop casino in Pueblo, New Mexico, not quite, you know, hitting the mark.
Speaking of Mark, that's who's on line one right now with an update.
Mr. Lawrence, welcome, and tell us, what do you see?
All right, Steve Jones, sorry about that. I'm a little bit too close here, and I couldn't hear you over the fire truck that's right in front of me. Well, I am in Sunbury 2nd Street, right across from the front of the Northumberland County Prison. This is the leeward side of the jail. The downwind side is completely engulfed in smoke. It is smoke that you can see 4 miles around as I approach the community from Shivoka Dam. You could see that the fire was here, and because of the fires on the top of the prison, you could see that it was the Northumberland County Prison that was on fire. Well, now I would estimate that roughly half of this prison is on fire within the walls. A key decision was made today for the Northumberland County Commissioners as to what to do with the Northumberland County Commissioners, or what to do with the Northumberland County Prison, because this entire structure is now inhabitable. So that is the bad news. The clock just advanced rapidly for the next chapter in Northumberland County prison lore. But here's the good news. 208 prisoners, all accounted for, all safe and sound. A staff of about 20 in the building at the time. More responded when the fire broke out. All accounted for, all okay. No injuries, no one hurt. And that is probably the most fantastic news. This building was fully occupied with about 250 people in a quarter square block area. The fire broke out 30 minutes later. There wasn't a soul inside other than volunteer firefighters. Mm-hmm. Everyone's being housed at a church across the street from the prison. They're accounted for. There is a massive law enforcement holding those individuals just to make sure no one wants to go away. But I can tell you from watching some of them march across the street in video that we posted at WKOK, all were cooperative that we saw anyway and moved over to the church for state quarters. So all the prisoners accounted for, the jail very heavily damaged, all but destroyed. Northumberland County Commissioner Stephen Friday said it would be possible in the years ahead that portions of this building would be inhabitable. But for now, the big process is deciding where these prisoners will go. The prisoners will go to county prisons, state prisons. Some could go to federal prisons. The decisions are being made as to what level of security would be required for each. Some are low security inmates, so they could go to other county prisons. Some are work released inmates and could technically go to an overnight stay, a halfway house, something along that line. Others are being held on much more serious charges or serving out a sentence that would be less than 2 years, and those individuals would have to go to a state prison or a comparable high-security county prison in the region. There is not a lot of bed space in the regional prisons around here. There are some vacant in the Snyder County prison. They rent out, but there are not enough there for everybody here. So you're going to see a dispersal of prisoners through from here to a wide range of places throughout the area. That is the massive paperwork process that's underway and a process of looking at information that safely is stored out of this building, and then they will determine where each will go. You are seeing a convergence of a number of institutions here today. Law enforcement, state police, constables, local police, of course the city police are here. They're monitoring these prisoners. There's two wardens here. One keeps individuals away from the site to make sure spectators don't get too close. Another is a law enforcement warden that begins at about a half a block as you approach the prison. That's in case a prisoner decided that they wanted to try to make a break. There are a number of officers on the periphery. And then on the inner sanctum in the church, that's off limits to individuals, including myself right now. But we're told there's about 50 officers in the periphery of the church. And then inside, about one officer for each prison. So you can get some idea of the massive regional response that's taking place here today. So that's the law enforcement. As for firefighters, we see firefighters from Montour County, Snyder County, Union County, and of course, all of the volunteer firefighters in and around the city of Sunbury have a presence here. They're trying to extinguish this fire. Now, as for
What about the challenge of this? Because it's 21 degrees. Explain the challenge of it, and also water running into roads on a 21 degree day.
All the local roads around here are closed. Second Street, Woodlawn Avenue, Arch Street, and that short section of Front Street are all blocked right now because of apparatus near there. But the challenge is that you have about a 150-year-old building, 100-year-old building, I forget the precise age, but nonetheless, massive wood structure. There's lots of metal in here. There's very limited access, but the challenge is being undertaken. This is an active firefight. Commissioner Bridie says this building ain't done yet. Now, there's very significant amount of water being poured on here. Yes, the 21-degree temperature is probably a challenge in terms of any ice that hits the pavement because it's very cold overnight. Even though it warmed up to 20-some degrees, it is not a mild day by any stretch of the east coast. So that is hampering the effort to be sure you're right to call that out because it is making it difficult. And but there is ample supplies of water. It is a firefight happening here right now.
Mark, we did get reports that the Shikellamy School District has let all of their students out within the last half hour and have canceled all activities for the evening. I'm assuming that's probably because of the traffic tie-ups that are expected there in the city of Sunbury with the fire.
Well, I think that's part of it. But another aspect is that local police are involved in traffic direction to make sure that buses get out of town. they probably are just trying to push that button on the day, see if we can make it so that the officers have just one focus and that the community has one focus, right? Whatever the next step for the broad public here and for students to get to where they're going. As you approach Sunbury, you see a massive plume of smoke, so you get a sense just as you approach Sunbury that this is an event on the timeline of the history of Sunbury that will be remembered for a long time. And I would imagine they let out the schools just so that, you know, any and all resources would be available. There's a few student firefighters, too, so I wouldn't be surprised if they saw those. As for the number of firefighters, just as I do a quick turnaround, I can see about 100 men and women who are the volunteers here.
All right, Mark, thanks so much. Keep us up to date on this.
All right, I certainly will. And check back with me if you need an update. We'll find out about any unanswered questions here at the scene.
All right, Mark, you've covered a lot there, and we'll get another update from you shortly as the Northumberland County prison fire continues. The big part, from, as Mark reported, not one person injured. Zero. And not only that, a tip of the cap to the great efficiency which they've taken care of this. And also, he as he detailed, the plan that they already have in place, which showed forethought about what to do with those moving to other prisons. And we'll check in with Mark Lawrence a little bit later. And as Kevin pointed out, activities in the Sunbury School District are, the Shikellamy School District, done for the day. Marcus Mariota, back to the sports part of it, is going to opt for the NFL draft.
Shocker.
Penn State basketball. No, but you know, you have to give these guys a couple days. Well, he's got his degree. He has his degree in general sciences. And, you know, there's nothing left for him to accomplish. There's nothing that is going to happen to him at Oregon that is going to make him a more NFL-ready quarterback. They don't run an offense there that makes you a more NFL-ready quarterback.
Well, let's be honest. There's nothing he's going to do or any award he's going to get that's going to open up more money for him in the NFL than he will this year.
Right. But, I mean, but that aside, I mean, the awards mean nothing when it comes to the NFL. It's, can you do something at that level that's going to make you better? Oregon doesn't run an offense that's going to make you an NFL-level ready quarterback. Say, for example, they decided to change and decided to go to a pro-style offense. They thought, you know what? This could really help me if I did this. That would be a possibility. So, all right, bottom of the hour. More on the Northumberland County prison fire. Our thanks to Mark Lawrence for the comprehensive update. And we'll check back in with Mark a little bit later. A real tip of the cap to everyone in the county for how they have responded to this. And once again, Mark using the keywords volunteer firefighters. On a day like this, let's remember them in the summertime when they have their carnivals, because those are their fundraisers. Best bargain going. Bottom of the hour news next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's time to celebrate!
Sunbury Motors Ford is celebrating their 100th anniversary. To kick off this milestone, SMC is slashing the prices of new Fords up to 10 grand. Pick over 58 new Ford Focuses as low as $15,950. Choose from 46 Ford Fusions priced from only $18,920. SMC has sold more F-150s in the last 10 years than any other Ford dealer in the entire Philadelphia region. Browse from over 75 trucks with discounts never seen before. Supercab 4x4 F-150s are priced under 30 grand during this centennial celebration. Sunbury Motors is reducing all 67 new Ford Escapes, and they start at just $19,990. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Odo Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask about our Odo Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Merce family since 1915. We'll be right back.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So on this Wednesday, heavy news Wednesday today, with a fire at the Northumberland County Prison. If you have to do any business or have anything in and around that area, you ought to find an alternate route. Marcus Mariota is declared for the NFL draft. We'll talk more about that as time goes along. It's also an interesting time. ESPN did its rankings of conferences for the season. And for the season, they ranked the Pac-12 1, the SEC 2, the Big 12 3, and the Big Ten 4 with the ACC 5. Now, in the big picture, there is no question that the Big Ten, especially you look at the second week of the season, had a terrible run in the second week of the season. No, I mean, no getting around it. There's no conference that had a worse second week of the season than the Big Ten did. But you have to allow things to breathe and look at the big picture when it's all said and done. The Pac-12 went 7-3, by the way, in bowl games, to their credit. The Big Ten went 6-5. The SEC has a little bit of a problem here. And here's the problem that they have in terms of overall perception. In the final weekend of the regular season, Georgia Tech beat Georgia, Florida State beat Florida, Clemson beat South Carolina, Louisville beat Kentucky. Four SEC teams defeated by four ACC teams. The explanation after that, remember we had John Cooper on from SouthernFootball.com, and he said, well, look, that's the SEC East. That really is the weaker division. Okay. So if the SEC West is considered to be the gold standard in college football, explain these results. Ohio State over Alabama. Wisconsin over Auburn. Georgia Tech against a non-competitive Mississippi State team. TCU blowing out Ole Miss. Notre Dame beating LSU. Explain that to me. Those are five SEC West teams losing, two of them non-competitive. So the ranking a bit lofty. The Big 12, by the way, went 2-5 in bowl games. And didn't look good in several. Oklahoma didn't look good. Baylor ran out of gas against Michigan State. TCU won big, looked great doing it. TCU and Ohio State would have to be the two early favorites going into the 2015 season. But you have to allow something to breathe, and then you can make some evaluations about, well, this power poll on conferences is after letting it breathe a little bit. The Big Ten did its part at the end. For the Big Ten, though, look, there's a chasm. I was talking to Dave Revson about this last night. There's a chasm of perception between the SEC and the Big Ten from the second week of the season. And after the way the Big Ten performed the second week of the season, that chasm was a justified perception. But now, I'm not going to sit here and say that Big Ten is even with the SEC. I'm not going to say that. but they have significantly closed the gap where they're right there in the neighborhood with them. And now you look at the Big Ten East. Ohio State, young defending national champion. Michigan State, 4 bowl wins in a row. And 2 of them, one's a Rose Bowl and one's a Cotton Bowl. Jim Harbaugh being brought into Michigan, some excitement there. And Penn State on the rise and on the move with James Franklin, and also back into the bowl scene, being allowed back in and winning. Now the Big Ten East becomes intriguing. All those teams are going to play each other. Penn State will play Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State every year. Every year they're going to play them. It's fun. Competitive. There'll be some frustrating days and there'll be some glory days. And there'll be more glory days than frustrating days, but it's still going to be fun to watch it play out. College basketball last night. Penn State played, without question, better. If Penn State played that game against Michigan and played that game against Rutgers, they would have beaten Rutgers by 15. They would have beaten Michigan by 10. Well, they didn't. They played Indiana last night, and Indiana won the game by 3. Penn State beat Indiana at Indiana last year, and Penn State played a better game last night than they did last year. It's 6 players in double figures. They had 14 assists. They only had 9 turnovers. Brandon Taylor threw up a, after DJ Newbill missed a shot, Brandon Taylor threw up a desperation at the wire that went in. That would have forced overtime, but the shot was late. Took them a long time to determine it, but I could tell and I had to feel right away that it was late. That's why I gave no hope on the broadcast that we were going to overtime.
I gave no hope.
I didn't. I said straight out. I said, I think it was late. Jim Jackson was over there already getting ready to do his interview. He held his fingers close together, looked over at us. He said, you know, we have no replay. So you've got to use your own sense, your own judgment, and then somebody else that has seen it, and all three things were the same story. That's why I didn't sit there on the broadcast and make people think, hey, we're going overtime, man. No.
No, I just thought it was funny you said no hope.
No, there was no hope. I don't even think anybody in the Penn State bench thought he got it off on time, because he had to run, take it, and fire it up. It was obvious. It was a three-pointer. But there was just no doubt in my mind it was late. And I still haven't seen it yet, but I've heard no one complain at all about whether it was on time or not. No one. But they put 6 players in double figures last night, and Ross Travis played one of the top 5 games of his career. He was 7 of 8 from the field last night. He had 8 rebounds. He was live. Now they need to win on. They need to win Saturday. Need to. They need to break through. You've got to start breeding success through success. You just can't sit there and breed success through, wow, we play a lot better. Nah, you got to have more points than the other guy when it's done. And I see signs are ready to do it. Purdue will have a week, but that means nothing to me during the course of a basketball season. Yeah, I've got Hammonds. I've got some good players. But, you know, look, you know, Penn State's 12-5. They're 0-4 in the Big Ten. Do I think they're a good basketball team? Yeah, I think Penn State's a good basketball team. I did not use the word great, awesome, and incredible. So please, you know, when I use words that fit, is Penn State a good basketball team? Yes, Penn State's a good basketball team. Are they slumping? Yes. They'll have 8 of the next 12 in the Jordan Center. That opens the door a bit. But they have to take advantage of it. They have to take advantage of it and start Saturday at 1. Start Saturday at 1. Hey, how about your guy, Kurt Busch? What's this deal? You know,
I think he's been watching too many movies.
watching too many movies. I think that, you know, just being going to the Indy 500 once just has taken him apart.
Well, he's going back.
I don't think they want him back. Have you heard this?
What, he just thinks his wife is a hired hit person.
That's not his wife. It's his girlfriend.
Oh, is it a girlfriend? I thought it was a wife.
Yeah. No. Let's see. Where is this story? This story's bizarre, old world, man. It's bizarre.
What was the movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
This isn't Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I can tell you. This is just... Ooh, I think I won. The testimony is... I mean, he says that she's a trained killer. Really? Ex-girlfriend is an assassin.
I guess his comment was, everybody on the outside can tell me I'm crazy, but I lived on the inside and I saw it firsthand.
Wow. Dick in Milton. Dick, how are you?
Good, Steve. I just wanted to make a couple comments. One on the basketball team. I thought they played better last night. And don't take this the wrong way with Penn State, because, I mean, I've seen them play, saw them play at Bucknell. But I think that their non-league schedule has to be bumped up a little bit to prepare for the Big Ten. I really think that they don't play a good enough non-league schedule. That was my first point. Secondly, you can tell your partner, Dick Girardi, he really did a nice job when he was on the Big Ten Network on television.
Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but he was excellent. That's why, he really was. And I just wanted to comment and give him credit. That was my two comments on basketball. And my one on football. And I know I mentioned this during the football year. Look, the running backs were okay, adequate at times. But when you watch how Ohio State and some of these other running backs are compared to what Penn State used to have at tailbacks, I just think we have to go out and get a big-time running back, or a couple of them. I really do.
Well, they've recruited two of them, and I really like Thomas and Scott very, very much. Elliott is a cut above guy. I really like him. I voted him first team all Big Ten, despite the number of other running backs in the league that probably got more publicity during the course of the year. But yeah. But they also do run a little bit different system too, because what helps Elliott is not only his natural talent, but also I think the system helps him a little bit with the option. I think that does make a difference. But he is, I think, an exceptional back because of how he blocks. Also an exceptional back because he's a very good receiver. And obviously he runs with an attitude. He finishes runs really well. I think Lynch is a really good back, but Lynch doesn't have that offensive line either. I mean, the offensive line was a big, big difference maker in what, you know, they're going to do over there at Ohio State. I mean, and I give them a lot of credit for that, because they transformed that offensive line in a year. Corey Linsley is a rookie starting for Green Bay at center. Jack Muhort's going to start at guard this weekend as a rookie for Indianapolis. And I think that's the biggest part of all, that Ohio State deserves more credit than anything else, because I thought that was going to be a problem for them, because they had to replace four offensive linemen, and they ended up doing it to their credit, with great ease.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, I guess I've rehashed this before about over the years, ever since, God knows for whenever, Penn State's running backs have always been a feature part of their offense. And I just never got that impression with this, the way this team's structured this year. I'll give you an example. Whenever Penn State got inside the 5-yard line or had first and goal anywhere inside, I never felt comfortable with the running backs that were playing in there. I never did. I never thought, man, this is going to be an easy touchdown for Penn State. Not that it's easy for anybody, but I just never saw that back that I thought was going to run over everybody and get in the end zone. And that always kind of bothered me a little bit. Plus, they never had that back that I thought was going to get to the corners and beat people down the field. And obviously, they relied more on their passing game. But I don't know. When I watch these other teams at tailbacks and feature backs, I just didn't get that feeling from Penn State at all this year. And I just never felt really good about it. I, you know, maybe it's just me. I just hope they can improve it, or you know, the guys they have are better at.
Well, part of that is the ability to blow somebody off the ball. You have to have the ability to blow somebody off the ball. I mean, it starts there. Like I said, I thought Gordon and Elliott were two guys that were cut above Coleman, I think, is good, not great. I know he ran for 2,000, but I think he's good, not great. Abdul is good, not great. He's another guy that he fumbles too much, and I think Cobb is very good within the system they have at Minnesota because the offensive line works well, and he works well with them. And I don't see – I see Coleman, Cobb, and Abdul getting to the NFL and being players in the league, but I see Elliott and I see Gordon being – extremely productive players in the league.
Well, as I say, we have a whole spring ball to get ready for next year, and then obviously see what happens with better line, better team. But my first comments were on basketball, basically. So
On basketball, like the non-conference schedule, I'll agree up to a point. Because Charlotte's a good team. You know, they play USC from the Pac-12 in that tournament. It's catch as catch can when it comes to that tournament. Obviously, George Washington is better than Rutgers. George Washington is better than Michigan. That's what bothers me about Penn State's performance. Penn State played George Washington and played a brilliant game and beat them by double digits.
Right.
And then they play Rutgers and George Washington. I'm telling you, if I put George Washington and Rutgers out there, Dick, GW's is 7 to 8 points better than they are, and they're probably 4 to 5 points better than Michigan is. That's what disappoints me about what Penn State has been doing on the floor against a couple of these teams, because when they played a really good team, and GW's gone out and they've beaten Wichita State, and they've picked up some really important wins along the way. That's what bothers me. When they played that team, they played brilliantly. And that's why I look at this team and say, look, they can be a good basketball team, because I've seen them play another really good basketball team and handle them without being pressured down the stretch.
Well, at this stage, we're 0-4. And how many games were at home? How many of that four were at home?
8 of the next 12 are at home, and they've got to make some hay there. If they don't, then it's going to turn out to be an awfully tough year.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't, you got to win at home and steal wins on the road. That's a simple,
no question.
That's a simple equation to basketball.
No
so,
question.
And you're
right on there.
You're never going to win every game at home, but you got to win. You got to win the majority of them. That's just the way it's going to be. I don't care what league you're playing in.
Totally agree with you on that.
Well, I hope we get better.
Yeah.
Or get worse.
Yeah, well, thought they got better last night, but they've got to follow that up getting better last night. They got to follow it up by winning. I don't care if they play lousy and win. They've got to come up with a win somewhere, because success breeds success. And if they can break through and get a success, I think then you'll start to see, okay, all right, we've steadied the ship. We're okay here. You know, that kind of attitude. Because it plays with you mentally a bit.
Weren't you commenting on Ross Travis?
Best game on Ross Travis, the best game I've seen, one of his top five games at Penn State. He was 7 of 8 from the field last night, had 14 points and 8 rebounds.
Right. But I wouldn't want him on the foul line at any stage of the game.
Whew, man. They can move him back 4 inches. They can move him up 4 inches. They can move him back to the top of the key. I don't know. That one, I can't figure it out. It gets to a certain point, Dick, and you know sports really well. It gets to a certain point where it just becomes mental, where you walk up there and you're just not sure you can do it.
Maybe they'll let him dunk it. I'll see you. Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah, dunk it. That's right. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You know, when you put together a schedule, for example, Drexel, you thought Drexel would be better than they would be. Yeah, it's an in-state thing. That's fine. You wanted to play in Allentown. It's fine. GW was what I thought they were going to be. Thought Duquesne would be better, for example, than what they've turned out. The tournament actually turned out okay. Charlotte's good team. Not great, but a good team. USC, of course, out of the Pac-12. Right, so you get some of that. And Virginia Tech, you get what they give you in the ACC Challenge. I mean, that one you don't schedule. I mean, I was hoping they would bring Pitt in here last year, this year after Penn State went to Pitt last year. But they didn't. And so that's And Dick talks about improving the non-conference schedule. Yeah, no, I agree. I think you should always be out there trying to play a really good non-conference schedule. This year's non-conference schedule had the potential to be better. Same time, I still see certain things in this team that tell me they're a good basketball team. And again, did not once say they're a great team. And Dick's right. Dick Girardi was awesome on the TV broadcast. I was just glad to get him back last night. You know, it's
some guys get that TV thing and
they get the
TV bug.
Well, you know, but we're in a different era. A lot of times they don't. Dick's a great writer, and you know, I mean, obviously Seth Davis is on, but you don't see people doing what they've done in the Penn State Sports Network, and that's get a really good writer who's not a former player, because the guy just knows the game. And I think that's one of the reasons where you just have somebody who... The two of us have a basketball conversation on the air. It's not really a broadcast. I think the same thing with the football broadcast. Jack and I have a football conversation on the air. Yeah, there are defined roles, but in the end, that actually is what it is. Now, if people like it, then we're thrilled about that. We hope they do. But the important thing is when you have two guys of that quality to bring out their knowledge, because it makes the broadcast better.
Station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com. CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. France gets serious about hurting radical Islamists with a more intense focus on ISIS. CBS's Elaine Cobb is in Paris.
French President François Hollande has sent the